The Republican proposal to overhaul the tax system faces a key vote this week as senators will consider a budget bill needed to advance the plan. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is facing a lot of pressure from President Trump to get the job done. The framework tax overhaul aims to spur revenue by cutting taxes for American businesses and earners, including the wealthiest. And it's part of the Republicans' long-held belief in supply-side or trickle-down economics. Arthur Laffer has been called the father of supply-side economics. He advised President Ronald Reagan and the Trump campaign, among others. Now he's founder and chairman of Laffer Associates. Arthur Laffer, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm quite a fan of the show.
Oh, well, thank you. And by the way, you're also, it sounds like, a fan of the Republican tax overhaul plan. So,
Tell us why. Well, because it cuts the corporate rate from the highest in the OECD to about the middle of the pack, a little bit below the middle, and that will bring jobs back to the U.S. It'll increase output, employment, and production. But even more so, Jeremy, what it'll do is it will reduce the amount of tax sheltering that businesses do. There'll be less tax evasion. There'll be secondary and tertiary revenues. There'll be all sorts of things happening at the state and local level that will be really impressive and help the country a lot, I believe.
Are you worried that it will add trillions of dollars to the deficit?
No, not at all. In fact, just the reverse. Any serious model tells you that economic growth always leads to increases in revenues, not reductions in revenue. And this bill will, according to some of the models, raise about $1.3 trillion over the next 10 years if it's passed.
But we know that the Bush tax cuts did not pay for themselves. So why would we think that this time it would be any different?
Well, Bush did a lot of stuff that wasn't tax cuts. They weren't marginal tax rates as we're looking at here. In fact, most of Bush's tax cuts were not marginal. They were inframarginal and just added to the deficit. What's happening here is by cutting the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20%, that really adds an incentive structure there that will cause the economic growth. Last time we did the corporate rate was in 1986 when we dropped it from 46% to 34%. And of course, you know the huge growth in the late 80s that all of that engendered.
Well, but the national debt also increased after the Reagan tax cuts by 190%.
Yes, and they did that much for Obama as well. I mean, if you look at any administration over any period of time, only the Kennedy and the Clinton years did they have surpluses at the end of their period. All the rest had increases in deficits.
You've talked a lot here about the corporate tax cuts. Is that, in your view, the more important part of this tax overhaul?
Oh, yeah. It's the heart and soul of this plan. So today, we have a 35% federal marginal tax rate. We are the highest in the OECD, which is 34 countries. Now, back in 2000, we had the same rate that we do today. But back then, we were the seventh highest. And every single country in the OECD, with the exception of the U.S. and Hungary, have reduced their tax rates, some of them by a huge amount, like Germany and Japan have dropped them a huge amount. And correspondingly, they've gotten the jobs, they've gotten the companies, and we haven't. And if we just drop it back, I think you'll find a lot of movement back. It's really very simple. If you have a lower tax rate, people will move into your region.
How do you respond to the argument that many are making that this tax overhaul plan will really be a benefit for the wealthy and not the middle class?
Well, I am really hoping it's a benefit for everyone. I mean, to me, the key here is economic growth. I hope everyone's tax rate goes up because they get a much higher paying job or they get employment that they otherwise would not have had. And I have nothing against the wealthy. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. The problem in America is there's something very wrong with being poor. And what I'd like to see is those poor people get good, high paying jobs that they otherwise would not have had.
But not all the poor people in America are going to get good, high-paying jobs, no matter what the tax rate is.
Of course not. But if we save 11 million of them, wouldn't that be great? I mean, if we just got the employment to adult population the same as it was when Clinton left office, if we just did that, we'd add 11.5 million people employed in the U.S. And that's something well worth a bill like this.
So why not just leave the top tax rate at 39.6%?
Because the top tax rate is a disincentive for people as well. And by the way, you don't get the money from those people. They just find tax shelters and loopholes and dodges. And if you lower the highest tax rate, you will find these people paying their taxes instead of doing all that other counterproductive stuff. And it's very clear in the records.
Do you have any concerns about the idea of doubling the standard deduction? There are some who believe that that will make the mortgage interest deduction irrelevant. It'll hurt the housing market.
Well, getting rid of the standard, doubling the standard deduction, I don't see how that would do mortgages at all. But let me just say that what would happen there is that would increase the deficit. Now, its side effect is it would take a lot of people off the tax rolls, so they wouldn't have to pay tax, they wouldn't have to pay filers and all that sort of stuff. But bottom line, I would like to see every dollar of income taxed at the lowest rate all the way across. I'd like to see us do Jerry Brown's flat tax of 1992, where everyone pays the same rate on everything they earn with no deductions, no exemptions, no exclusions. That's what I'd really love to see. But this bill does not do that. It doubles the standard deductions, which I would oppose if I were to nitpick on it.
What about the estate tax?
State tax is, again, another one. The really rich people don't pay that tax. They have all sorts of shelters and ways around that tax, and they have had for years. If we lower that tax rate, it means you just won't have to hire all those lawyers and accountants. And some of these people will actually pay their taxes and not move.
But if we were to do all the things that you're talking about, aren't we just going to end up with not enough money to pay for the services that people expect at this point in the United States?
Well, we're going to have deficits whichever way we go. I mean, let's just be serious about that. But the important thing here is that I believe this will reduce deficits substantially over the coming 10 years because of economic growth, number one, and also because people will no longer shelter or not shelter as much their income. There'll be less tax evasion. There'll be more companies coming back to the U.S. just for headquarters. There'll be lots of secondary, tertiary, and quaternary effects that really will offset it. If you look at when we had the biggest surpluses, it was always following tax cuts and pro-growth policies as under John F. Kennedy and under Bill Clinton.
Do you think that any tax cuts should be put into a package along with big spending cuts, though, in order to try to deal with some of the deficit issues?
I would love that. I really would. I don't think that's in the cards this year, but I sure as heck hope it is in the cards in future years. We have a lot of spending we really don't need to do, and I would love to see that brought under control.
Why do you think that the tax system has lasted as long as it has since the last time it was overhauled back in the 80s?
Because of complacency and because of people just not understanding this tax system. I mean, if you look at Warren Buffett's taxes, for example, in 2010, he said he paid $7 million in taxes, had taxable income of $40 million, and adjusted gross income of about $62 million. And yet, as an economist would calculate his income actually was about $12 billion. He paid less than 1% of his income in taxes, according to an economist's definition of income. And that's outrageous. Now, he did it all legally. There's nothing wrong, but we have to get rid of all these loopholes. I'm all for taxing the rich a lot more. But the way you do that, Jeremy, is by lowering tax rates, not by raising them.
Are you really in favor of taxing the rich a lot more?
I'm in favor of collecting the taxes I believe they should pay. Yes, I really am. I would love to see a flat tax in this country, because they are using all of these gimmicks and tricks. And everyone who knows taxes well, just ask your corporate accountant and you'll see just how they do it. I mean, contributions. You don't have to pay taxes on the unrealized capital gains, on contributions to NPR and all the other 501c3s. Likewise, you can make that contribution and get it fully 30% of your income can be used as a deductibility for it. So, you know, you're not really giving your money. You're giving a lot of taxes when you give it to the 501c3s. And that's about $430 billion a year just to 501c3s.
So if there's a member of Congress or a member of the Trump White House listening to this right now, as they iron out the details of this tax overhaul plan, is there something you would like them to change based on what you know at this point?
I wish they had gone down to 15% on the corporate tax. I would like to see that we went from 7 brackets to 3 back brackets, which is great. But in 1986, we went from 14 brackets to 2 brackets, which was spectacular. And look at the growth we created in the 80s. I mean, it was wonderful. And it led to really helping Bill Clinton produce a wonderful economy with a lot of prosperity and ultimately running budget surpluses as he did.
That's Arthur Laffer, who is former economic advisor to President Reagan and to the Trump campaign, now founder and chairman of Laffer Associates. Thanks for joining us.
Jeremy, thank you.